Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Damas y caballeros, we got a great show for you guys today. Follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. Send in those questions and suggestions, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Today we're going to discuss some cool stuff, Bigfoot. We're going to talk about some LED lights and some going green with Amazon Fresh. And we got a great article about the stock market issues that's going on with GameStop. But let's start it off. This is Freeform Radio. My name is Daniel. Today I got two hosts. Andy?
It's all good, and we're backing at them.
And we got Noel.
What's going on, everybody? Glad to be back.
Yes, sir. Back together. It's snowing like a mug outside, man. It's coming down like it's never going to end. So hopefully we don't get buried in the snow on this podcast and we can keep going on. But why don't we start the week with Andy? You put something out here about some Bigfoot documentary. Where'd you find the documentary, and was it any good?
Yeah, it was one of the better ones. Recently, I've been going back to Cryptoology. So again, we got a big snowstorm this week, and it's the recording. I think it's been about almost 20 hours of nonstop fucking snowing. So where I live, we got a lot of snow. It started snowing late afternoon. So Friday night, I came home and chilled, relaxed, and then I'm like, oh man, it's gonna snow this afternoon. We did our errands or whatever, and then I'm like, let me just sit back because we ain't gonna go fucking nowhere. My wife was doing some stuff, and I found a couple of videos, but the one that really stuck out and is still in my head is the Bigfoot one. It's called it's like a double, man. It's called On the Trail for Bigfoot. It's about 3 hours long. They split it up into 1.5 hours each one. And the first one, just I don't want to say episode, the first part of it is, it's on Amazon Prime. This is where I found it. Talks about the evolution of how we came to know like Bigfoot as we know it now. And back in the days, like in the newspapers in the 1800s and 1900s, they used to have a different name, like Ape Man, Wild Man. And then it got changed to Bigfoot around the 30s. And then we all know about, especially initially, the biggest reports were coming out of the West Coast. You know, all the Peterson gimbal footage where that guy walking, that Bigfoot walking, and that old camera from like the 60s. But what I found really interesting, so, you know, they delve the history into and they go into the current time. But out of the one that sticks out to my head, you know, is a nice knowledge. The second part, that the filmmaker goes on searches for Bigfoot. And I've seen some documentaries where this guy up in Canada has video of Bigfoot. I mean, it was great. And it looked real to me, but nothing came of it. I mean, he has like, you know, a lot of footage of Bigfoot. And so with this one, he goes searching, he records, you hear like the wood banging on the trees, the rock throwing and all that stuff, the noises, the howling, which you hear in like a lot of the documentaries, you know, the Bigfoot cast we all know about. But there's a group in Texas, the name eludes me right now, but they talk about, this is a group that researches for searches for Bigfoot. They're hoping to get footage, but this is the first time out of all these documentaries I've ever seen, their goal is not to find one, you know, have photographic and video evidence, but they've talked about, like, we see one, we're gonna fucking shoot it and kill it.
Damn.
And I was just like, damn. And I was like, I was aghast, but not really. But I was like, oh, okay, this is new. Like, I've never heard anybody say that. Yeah, we're going to shoot this motherfucker and bring him back. But they give the reasons, because they know photographic and video evidence is not enough for the scientific community to go, oh, yeah, Bigfoot exists. They're not. They're not going to accept that as evidence. And they go into depth, like, yeah, in depth about, this is what we need to do. And they're not. So they go there's a couple people who are in the armed services in this group, and they go into this hotspot. They call it Zone X, and they've been numerous reports of Bigfoot. And they hang out there at least like all the time. This is people who have 9-to-5 jobs. They use their own money. They have some people who volunteer, and they document every experience when they go looking for them. And they're trying to shoot to kill, and then they're like, yeah, we're not gonna be able to prove anything until we bring that evidence. And goes, we're not gonna sell it for profit. We're gonna give it to the scientific community to show, because we want them to do a thorough DNA test. We want to see if they're like primates. Like, we want to know all this information.
Wow. So I imagine you watch pretty good amount of documentaries. Out of all the documentaries that you've watched, is this a pretty good produced and well-made documentary on Bigfoot?
So yeah, this is like an independent company that made it. It's called Small Town Monsters, and they have a slew of documentaries and some movies. It's people from the Midwest. The guy who made this one's from Ohio. He's done one on the Mothman. They've done the UFO ones. They've done Bigfoot. The reason I saw this one, because I saw another one talking about the Mothman, and it was well produced. He talked to people in the community where the Mothman came up and some other stuff that are associated with that area. And it was greatly made. It looked great. It's not very long. I don't want to watch like 3-hour fucking documentaries if I don't have to, but an hour and a half, it kept you interested. And the next one on the list was this one. And I was just like, let me check it out. And it was well made, well produced, great interviews. There was great background. The only thing is, you could tell they reenact a lot of stuff because they can't get rights to show some other like Bigfoot stuff that's out there. And they talk, and so they kind of reenact a lot of stuff. And it's not that is like where it's a guy in a suit, you know. So like, or they have some cheap animation. And but this one, that yeah, this was well produced. It's well made. It kept me intrigued. He had great interviews with people in the documentary, and they were, you know, they fucking talked about shooting Bigfoot, and like, and they gave their reasons. So I was just like, those are valid reasons, and I concur with that. I mean, photographic evidence at this point, if we all know, I mean, whatever you feel about Bigfoot, we you know. There ain't going to be nobody's going to accept it until you fucking bring a captured one or you shoot one. And even if you capture one, you're going to get shit probably. And if you kill one, you're probably even going to get more shit. So, and the guys in the video, they talked about they shot one and they feel bad that he said he got him in the arm. And that they got pictures of the blood. They got the blood samples. And they fucking they weren't able to figure out. Well, first of all, the first group said they weren't able to confirm it was blood. The first testing place, they took some rocks. They where the blood spilled into, allegedly from Bigfoot. And they took the rocks. And this other group said, yeah, we did some sequencing on the. It is blood. That's all we're able to prove. We weren't able to show like from what animal or anything like that because the blood was all dried up and stuff. And then they were really upset that they maimed Bigfoot and didn't kill him. They're like, they don't want him walking around all wounded and stuff. So, yeah. So he goes, you know, if I got a shot, I'm going to take him down for the scientific proof.
Yeah, man, that sounds unethical for sure. I get the reasoning that you're saying and what they're saying, but, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's never done anything to anybody, right? Has there been documented killings due to Bigfoot or something like that?
So yeah, do talk about that too, Noah, like in certain parts of the area. Like the one in the West Coast is just like, leave me alone, loner Bigfoot. And then there's parts in the South, those type of Bigfoots like Skunk Ape and Missouri, like they've been known to attack people. They divide up the country. So like in Pennsylvania and the Southeast, that Bigfoot has been known to attack the one in the south has been known to attack like your livestock, and the only one that's like kind of laid back is like the one in the Pacific Northwest, you know, California, Oregon, Washington, and all that. And they do talk about that in this documentary.
Your wife is a educated woman. What does she think about this?
Oh, whenever I watch this stuff, she thinks it's all BS. She's like, this is all bullshit. I'm like, so like, you know, we're Catholic. And when I watch stuff about ghosts, like paranormal or demons, she's like, this is all like, I don't want to watch this because it's all BS. I'm like, this thing, ghosts ain't real or demons. She's like, I'm not saying they're not real, but I think it's all BS. And I'm just like, okay. And then she just like leaves. She's like, I don't know why you like this crap. But when I talk about stuff about UFOs.
Yeah. Amazon Prime has a ton of documentaries, and I've watched a few, and sometimes it's a crapshoot, man. Sometimes you get a real shitty documentary that's not well made, and you're just like, I just wasted half of my, you know, half an hour into this documentary, and I got to give up on it, or you're pot committed and you're like, I'm going to watch the rest of it. But yeah, I'm down for good documentaries, especially about Bigfoot. I think it's interesting. I don't believe that they exist, but I still am intrigued to watch stuff on it.
Yeah, I mean, I highly recommend it. I mean, it's a subject I've been into since I was a kid, and I highly recommend to check it out. If you guys know anything, send us videos or let's request at ffnquestions@gmail.com. But, you know, when you watch stuff like that, I like to watch it in the dark, Danny. I know you've been busy upgrading your lighting at the house because apparently you like to have all the lights on and you're rich. So what's going on?
Yeah, I just recently changed all my light fixtures to LEDs in the house. Before I had those old school, you know, the one with the little wire in between. I forget what they call them. Condensant lights, I think it is.
Incandescent
lights, yeah. They were all peppered throughout the house because, you know, whatever, it was in the house when I moved in. But I watched a pretty good, it wasn't a documentary, it was a YouTube video about this guy, and he showed power levels of changing for LEDs and how you could save all this money. Man. And the amount of money that it would cost you to invest into the LEDs, because they are kind of pricey, would pay off, you know, within half a year. And then all the rest would be bonus. And then every year on there forward, you'd just be saving money. So I decided to do it. I decided to buy like this 24-pack of LED lights from Amazon. And then I just went around the house just changing out the light bulbs. And I haven't really seen a huge difference in my light bill just yet. But I just did this maybe less than a month ago. So we'll see in the coming months how these bills come out. But it makes me feel a little good that, you know, I'm trying to save Mother Earth a little bit, whether that's kind of foolish and it's all in my head, kind of placebo kind of thing. But hopefully I'll see some fruits of this labor of changing everything to LED in the house.
Yeah, LEDs are definitely the way to go. They're much more efficient. I have a grow tent so I can grow stuff in the winter, and I have a 1,000-watt LED, but it only consumes 150 watts. So, you know, you're getting a lot of power for a little bit of consumption.
Yeah. Typically I don't think about stuff like that. I just buy whatever is the cheapest light bulb when I go to Walmart, or when I used to go into stores. Now I order everything online. But when I used to go into stores, I would just scan the aisle, and whatever was the cheapest, that's the one I would buy, because what the hell I want to spend $10 on a light bulb when I could spend, you know, $1.50 and just get a light bulb and whatever. But yeah, man, I'm hoping it'll save a little bit on electricity in my pocket, but also save Mother Earth and maybe be less taxing on electricity. And if I could, I think I would even maybe start looking into some like solar energy. I think it'd be kind of cool to see what are the benefits, even though that tech is kind of new. I'd be kind of afraid of being like that guinea pig guy where, yeah, it rocks like the first couple months, but then after that the bolts start breaking off, or the panels start cracking, or there's some kind of shit that they haven't really found out because it's still barely in the first decade of technology, and you know, maybe stuff hasn't been found.
Solar is good, but I think the problem with solar, I mean, from what I've read and seen, is the day-to-day stuff that we use here. I mean, it's the how we power our homes is that's the problem. You're gonna need something else like to help you supplement that shit, because you still need like a shitload of batteries and the solar panels, and this, I mean, it's there, but I feel like maybe it's being held back. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like a lot of moving parts, man. And then it's like, you're almost there, but at this point, I wouldn't do it. I mean, because I know they're pushing stuff. Maybe off-grid will be a little better because you have less stuff in your home, but the way the typical American, that's a lot of, you're not going to be able to have enough juice to run your house.
You definitely wouldn't be able to rely on it solely. That's 100% certain, unless you're a millionaire. That's the main thing, is that this is kind of expensive still. It's newer tech, and newer tech's always expensive. The same way the first person that ever had electricity in a American household was a very rich person. You know, it wasn't the average person. And that's how it is for solar. Very high initial cost. Well, I don't want to say very high. It depends on what you get, obviously. There's different variations and setups. And I've seen all different kinds of things done with it. It's definitely something to look into. And actually, we just got a letter in the mail like maybe 2-3 days ago. There's a company. I forgot what the name is. It starts with an N. What comes to mind is Nexus. But I have to look at the letter. It's in the other room. Anyway, they are offering this system you can get into where they work in conjunction with ComEd. And when you sign up with this company, you literally start getting like a decrease in your bill by switching some of the power to solar. So there's going to be companies offering you solar now. So it's not something you have to necessarily do on your own. If you just look out for these companies, they could take care of all the costs and everything like that, and you just pay ComEd your monthly bill, but it should hopefully be a little less.
Yeah, I think a lot of those incentives are going around, because I've seen stuff like when companies redo roofs, and then they're like, well, we'll subsidize your deductible to your insurance if we can put a sign in front of your house for a year or whatever. So I know there's incentives to put solar, and I do agree with both of you. I don't think it'd be enough for me to just disconnect the line from ComEd, but I'm hoping that it would, you know, I'm not seriously looking into this right now, but it's piquing my curiosity to maybe help out with power outages. Right now we got a pretty bad snowstorm. And, the lights actually went off for like 10 seconds, and then it turned back on enough to reset like my clocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in those circumstances where you would have a power outage, I think solar would be a viable alternative to be able to get you by, to keep your refrigerator maybe going, or maybe to, you know, put on a space heater so you're not freezing or something. You know, I think it would be some kind of optional power source since you're
generator away from, main.
Well, that too, you know, I did get a generator last year or the year before. So that's also an alternative power source. But I guess, I mean, in stuff like that where I wouldn't have to worry about, oh, shit, it's snowing gallons a minute outside. Let me go outside, put this generator, fill it with gas. I'm standing out there, you know, trying to do all that, where if you had solar, you're just kind of sitting back and using some of that, you know, energy that's stored in the batteries.
Now, I hear where you come from. That's a good idea. The unfortunate side of that is that during the winter, when it does snow, there's going to be a lot less light that hits these solar panels, especially where we live, where it does tend to get more cloudy and less light penetrating.
Right.
You know, in the summer, it'll be great. In the summer, especially if you have it in an area where it's getting direct contact from the sun throughout the day. Like, for example, our roof has a flat part to it, and we have gutters around it so that way it could, like, you know, take the water with it. But that flat part would make like a perfect spot for solar panels that get direct sunlight throughout the day.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, especially right now, it's cloudy as shit. You can't see the sun. Yeah, I'm more referring to stored up energy, you know, energy that you have in the battery backups. Yeah. So that, you know, the power that you've soaked up from the sunlight from presumably yesterday, you'd be able to consume some of that today if the power would go off for like an hour or two or whatever. But yeah, that's true. I think it's just something cool. I'm hoping this LED will work out. The thing that I found kind of fascinating, you kind of mentioned a little bit, the voltage. There is specific, you know, and usually for my ignorant mind, just never really thought about it. You know, usually you get a light bulb and I just get like a 60 watt typically in the house. And I feel like that's a pretty good
soft white.
Yeah, it's like kind of easy light. You know, it's not too strong in your face. Where if you turn on the lights, you're kind of squinting kind of thing. That was usually my go-to. And I don't know if it was just my go-to because it was the cheapest. But that was my go-to. And with LEDs, there are a few different varieties. And the two big popular ones that I saw was this softer one that was kind of like orange color. And then there was this higher one that was more like a bluish color. And from the forums and from people talking, a lot of people preferred the warmer orange one versus the blue one, where the blue one is used more for like offices and you know, like professional buildings. Like they made fun of it, saying that that's what the morgues use when they're you know, looking into a body. They use this blue one, where the warm ones are better suited for a home. But I just thought it was kind of cool, kind of opened my eyes to something new and something different.
Well, LEDs are really good too if you want to grow any kind of vegetables indoors during the winter. That's kind of what I'm doing right now. So it works really well for that if you ever wanted to do something like that.
Wow, yeah. Usually I don't put my greenhouse thing that I mentioned I have during the winter. But yeah, now that I got LED lights throughout the house, it might be kind of cool to put that up and see if anything will grow. But speaking of growing and stuff that's natural and fresh, Amazon Fresh. You mentioned it, Noel, that you used it recently. How was the experience? And did you actually go to one of the new stores that they're talking about opening and a few that opened up, or did you get it home delivered?
I got it delivered, man. I wanted to get the whole full experience. I haven't really gone to the store very much in the past couple of months. I just, if I don't have to, I decide not to take the trip. And then I have to wear a mask and all that, you know, it becomes a moral issue and then it gets to be another issue. And so I just avoid all that, any stress, stay home, go on Amazon, type in the few things I want, get it delivered either that same day or the next day early in the morning. It all depends on the time of day you order. So if let's say I order right now, which it is 10 in the morning, I could probably get it delivered by... For free, I could probably get it delivered mid-afternoon to late afternoon. If I want it earlier, you want a one-hour slot delivery. It gives you options. You'd have to pay $5 for that. And it does offer you the option to leave a tip, and I always do. I feel like it's definitely earned. They get it to me right on the stop, on the dot. Like, so I have a two-hour time slot for free. And usually I'll get it between like 11 and 1. So 11 in the morning to 1 p.m. is when I'll get this stuff. And they have a wide selection, man. You can get fresh produce. You can get, you know, red meat, fish, whatever you want, deli meats. I mean, you name it, honestly. You can get chocolate milk. Yeah, it's been pretty fun trying it out.
Let me ask you this. No, you brought up... a point that I've discussed with many people when it comes to these services that offer delivery, or when you use, you know, Uber Eats, DoorDash, you know, whatever delivery service you use.
Yeah.
Depending on what you order or the value, what do you think is like, because I know somebody that does DoorDash consistently and he brags about the tips he gets when he picks up stuff. Like, I think DoorDash is not part of like Walgreens and shit, and like some other rest, you know, what they're part of. But he has shown me where he's gotten tips of like someone orders like $12 worth of stuff, and he's gotten $10 tips on top of whatever the delivery company pays him. And I'm just like astounded that someone would give him for that, like the amount, a $10 tip. So when you do this, or when you do Uber Eats, or you too, Danny, I've never done DoorDash or Uber Eats or any of that. If I order, it's normally pizza that has a delivery, and like that's about it, or the Chinese place. I never tip $10 on any delivery. I mean, I don't know if you're willing. What is a good tip for those people, for those essential workers?
You know, usually minimum $5, but
minimum $5. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, 15 to 20%. I mean, any less than that is cheap, dude. Because you have to think about this. Back in 1980, so I was born in 88, right? So that's 32 years ago. Going to be 33, and in that year, my parents would pay the Nick and Bruno's pizza delivery guy a dollar tip, which was not a bad deal, awesome. You know, back then, right? Dollar tip week after week, whatever pizza we get. Now, you know, fast forward 10 years from that, 98, sales still the same thing, a dollar. But guess what? Everything else is inflated. The pays don't always reach what the actual inflation is. So while groceries are getting more expensive, the wages aren't exactly meeting that expense that's increasing. So the tips, really, they have to increase with inflation. Otherwise, it's like we're not really paying for what we're still getting. I don't know if that makes sense.
Right.
Like 30 years later, we can't still be paying $1 tip. You know, that's like extremely, extremely cheap, in my opinion. But everybody is entitled to their own, you know, it's their own money. It's their own life, whatever they want to do. That's just my personal thing, is minimum $5 or 15 to 20%. If it's like a hefty bill, 15 to 20% of my bill is tip.
Yeah, usually I just default to the 15% tip, whatever it is. And I have used Fresh in the past, not too often, because I noticed that pricing on some certain items are a little more expensive. But usually I reserve it for, I just did a grocery pickup yesterday kind of thing, and shit, I forgot the eggs kind of thing. Then I'll jump onto Fresh, because just being lazy and not wanting to go back to the stores, set up another Walmart pickup or whatever it was. So I'll just do an Amazon Fresh, set up my cart, and then have it delivered, like you mentioned, within, you know, like 3-4 hours, and it just gets delivered right to my door. So, but yeah, I've always found the experience kind of cool. I know right now with the pandemic, it's probably not the time to do it, but would you consider going to the Fresh store? I think they opened one up in Schaumburg, and
that's far.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of far for us here. But yeah, they opened up one in Schaumburg, and then they opened one up in Naperville as well. Naperville,
which is far south. Yeah.
Right. Those are pretty far from us to go for, just to go into the store kind of thing. But would you contemplate going to that stores?
For people who don't live in Chicago, and that's like uppity areas, those are people who have of means, majority.
Like, yeah, I could see what you mean. Yeah, it's definitely an area that there's a lot of people that are well off that go to those kind of areas and those kind of places. I don't think I'd go there unless I live nearby, just because I'm not going to waste the gas to go over there. I'm a kind of guy that doesn't even like to drive to the store that's like, you know, a couple, you know, miles away from me. So why am I going to drive that far? You know, 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back. Nah, it's not worth it, but it is cool. I do hope it does well. I've always been a fan of Amazon. I know, you know, not everybody is, but they offer a wide variety of things. It's like the Google that I can actually get use out of. You know what I mean? Because like Google is like, it does a lot of things, but it also provides a lot of limitations and censorship, and there's a lot of weird gray area with Google where where Amazon, like, gives you food. You can get anything you want to order through their website. You can get Amazon Video. You can get Amazon Books. They're in everything, and it's continuing to grow. So I'm a fan of Amazon. We'll see what happens. But Amazon Fresh, 10 out of 10. I definitely, if it's in your area, because that's another thing, it's not in every area. I have a few of my cousins who are not able to take advantage of Amazon Fresh because I guess there's not a store or a Whole Foods nearby. I think that's where they actually fulfill your orders in some right. of these Whole Foods. So, mm-hmm. yeah, definitely worth trying out. If you have the money, you know, that's another thing because the prices aren't, you're not going to get like super good sales. You will get some sales. There are discounts and stuff like that you'll see on some of the produce or whatever. But you're not going to get the same thing like, you know, 10 for one at Jewel or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything. You when you go grocery shopping, some places have better deals than others. But quick story, the one in Schaumburg, I was reading an article in the Daily Herald that when they proposed a grocery store, Amazon did it by a third party. And they some company went in there saying, like, we're going to build a grocery store there, and they approved it. The city really didn't know it was for it was going to be Amazon Fresh until I think they broke it like a couple months ago. They're like, finally, like, yeah, this is going to be an Amazon Fresh store. And I was just like, I found that interesting that they try to do it on the down low, you know. I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know what would not be appealing about it. To me, it seems like a good idea. I wouldn't even mind trying one of those Amazon stores where they have no cashiers and you just walk in and grab the shit and then walk out.
But and do you pay for it or you just
no, walk yeah, out? Yeah. No, you, I mean, I'm sure some people just walk out, but it detects like the app in your phone or something, or there's some kind of thing that you have to set up, but it detects and the cameras see what shit you're putting in your cart and then charge it to your account. So when you leave the store, it'll see that you have five items in your cart and then just charge you so you don't have to really touch or talk to anybody.
I think that's a good idea so long as you can verify before you walk out that your bill is going to be accurate. Because it would be a shame you walk out nonchalant, you get home, you drive home, and then you look at your bill. You're like, holy shit, they charged me $30 for something I didn't even get. You know what I mean? And how do you debate that? Do you go back to the store? You call customer service? How do they prove it and how do they resolve something like that?
Yeah, I would assume that Amazon would probably write it off initially. But yeah, you're right. I think you would have to do your due diligence of looking at your receipt a lot more than most people. When they get their receipt, they just shove it into their pocket or don't even ask for a receipt and just walk away.
A lot of people don't even get receipts no more. And then they ask yeah. if you want to email it. And when you say print it out, they give you that look like you're an asshole.
Yeah, no, I think for sure.
I say, if you're going to give me the option, don't give me the fucking look. You know?
Yeah.
If you're going to tell me, hey, you want to print, like, yeah, I do. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, dude, that's my experience with Amazon Fresh. I do recommend people try it out. I know it is a little bit more expensive. And, you know, the way I was raised was to save your money and to be careful with it. And to an extent, that is true. You should do it. But there's also another side to this, a side that we haven't been taught, that we haven't been prepared for. And that is our money can make more money. And it's something that every Hispanic person should strive for, whether you were born in this country or whether you immigrated to this country. You should definitely learn and do as best as you can to make more money on the top of the money you are currently making, not just by the income you get from work, but also from investing, from making your money go into something that's going to explode it and expand it. It could be a business. Could be stocks, could be 401ks. There are options out there for you. And it actually kind of leads us into the article of the week. So here we got from Yahoo Finance. What is Wall Street Bets, the upstart Reddit group that is pummeling Wall Street? This was written by Ethan Wolfman, who's a senior writer. It was written on the 27th of January. And it's a quick read, 5-minute read. I definitely recommend everybody who listens to us to take a good look at this, really dive deep into it. And hopefully this will get you to start getting into the stock market, because there's a lot of money to be made and all the richest of the rich do it. And there's a reason why there's a big gap in the middle class and upper class. And that's because the middle class and lower class have not been prepared or educated on how useful the stock market can be. So what or who is Wall Street Bets? Wall Street Bets is actually a subreddit or a forum on a website called Reddit. It's a social platform where you can discuss all different kinds of things. And it's a group of people who enjoy talking about investing and kind of just speculate on the market and what might be a good thing to invest in. So it goes into detail about what an option is, what are they doing with the market, and you know, what kind of investments are they recommending? They actually invested or recommended to invest in GameStop. So it goes here, why GameStop? One Wall Street Bets user made the case for the stock as a value investment, which means that its user valued are viewed as a stock being more valuable than the stock price indicated. So the case for buying a stock, the user wrote, had nothing to do with the turnaround in the video game retailer's business, which has suffered during the pandemic. So it asked, you know, well, why GameStop? So a lot of people started listening to these investors, the people that were recommending it on subreddit, and they saw that the stocks were being sold short and the betting would go down. So while short sellers were betting it would go down, Wall Street's bet with the community was starting to actually buy into these shares, taking the other side of the bet, saying, you know what, we're not going to let you sell it short and make the stock go down. We're going to invest into it and make the stock go up. It started being a tug of war, and it turns out the subreddit had enough followers and enough people investing it that the stock price rose, and very, very fast. At least in this instance, the Reddit community proved to be more powerful than the short seller establishment, and that is quite a feat. If you know anything about these hedge funds, they are some very powerful individuals. So it does go into more detail. I don't want to bore you guys with all the details, but it definitely is worth taking a look into it when you have a chance. One thing I did want to make of note is that when this thing started happening, it was a ripple effect affecting many different sectors of our government and of the stock, of business, of the economy. So it kind of brings to light a lot of the things that are going on in the dark, a lot of things that are going on that we aren't aware of, and there is corruption that is starting to be put into light for us to see. So when this thing happened, when this thing exploded, GameStop was at $10 a share in 2020 for most of the year, and it exploded to a high of over $300 per share. It's an astronomical increase. These short sellers lost billions, about $70 billion around they lost, and it still might even increase. However, they were bailed out for $2.75 billion bailout of our tax money was given to these people.
Well, I don't believe it's tax money. I think it was another hedge fund had invested into the hedge fund that was losing their ass off. So I don't think it was government money that bailed them out. I did read that in a couple of other articles that mentioned that it was a secondary hedge fund company that does similar stuff. They also short bet stocks that they invested $3 billion or whatever it was to kind of help them, you know, so that they wouldn't have to, so they wouldn't have to file for bankruptcy, since this whole Reddit thing was going to, you know, probably close that company down.
You know, I'd have to take a look deeper into who actually bailed them out and all the paper trail.
Right.
I would, but I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if the government had a little bit of something to do with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. And I know that they asked the government to help them. And I think the government was like, that's when the White House was like, we'll investigate it. And then that's when this other company stepped in and said, well, to keep you afloat, here's a $3 billion kind of thing.
So what they're basically going to do, I mean, people, they asked the Biden's press, President Biden's press secretary, like, would they care to comment? And she just basically said the woman, there's a woman in charge of it and they'll get back to us. So to me, it sounds like they're going to come up with some plan to try to fuck over somebody. And Elizabeth Warren came out with this statement saying that, you know, these casino swings in the market, that they need to be investigated because, you know, the market can be manipulated. Well, duh. I mean, these hedge fund people in Wall Street, they're notorious for manipulating the market. But the statement that came in there, she basically, there's a lot of hedge fund companies. The one that they're, look, what I got from that is it looks like that Melvin one, they're going to throw them under the bus. If they fucking fail, they fail, or maybe bail them out. But she was, some of the comments that they really need to look at this group, the Reddit group, and maybe they need to be investigated, the retail investor, and see what the hell is going on, because maybe they're in collusion or some BS like that. I think what just happened is Wall Street got beat at their own game. They got fucking pissed. They went on CNBC, Fox Business News. They changed the fucking rules midway through with the Robinhood app. So if we wanted to buy stock when this was going on, I mean, we would, you know, in the old days, you had to do all this, go to a brokerage and all this crap. Now you could buy an app. You could download an app, Robinhood, and buy it. And
that's like, one of many.
One of many. Right. But they're the ones that, along with others, that they halted that they wouldn't let you buy the stock on a day. They're like, we're not going to let you buy. All you could do is sell it. Again, that's manipulating the market because they were trying to control their fucking losses. Now, there's big debate about if Melvin or another hedge fund told them to do this. That's where this is all going down, what I've been seeing and reading. But and then CNBC had Vlad, the CEO of Robinhood, on there, and he goes, oh, this is something we just did to protect our users or something. And they asked him, did you guys have money with problems with liquidity? And he goes, oh, no, it wasn't. And then the next day they get like $1 billion. And then they're like, oh, we're going to allow people to trade again, but they only let you buy like one to five shares of these stocks that are they're calling meme stocks. Which one was GameStop, AMC, BlackBerry, Bed Bath & Beyond, Nokia, and there's more of them. And it just comes down to they got fucked at their own game by this group, and now they're fucking crying foul how they lost billions of dollars. They're going on TV saying that, you know, this could have been the Russians and these people are racist. And like, when you start spouting shit like that, that means someone really got fucked and their butt hurt. And now they're trying to change the rules midway. And it's, I mean, as much as I hate to say it, the Wall Street's fucking rigged. And oh, yeah. they somebody beat them to the punch on this one. That's what happened. And they're pissed about it because they lost billions of dollars. And they're saying, and then they're trying to say it like the people who bought in, the retail investor, the day traders, that they don't know what the hell they're doing and they're fucking everything up. Yet they do this shit. They've been doing it forever.
They are very well organized in how to orchestrate crashes and rises and whatever stock they need. And that's how the rich stay rich. There's a lot of shit that goes on behind the scenes that we still don't know of. But what's nice is that this caused many things to get exposed. And I'm hoping that it wakes people up to start getting into investing and start to be more aware of what's going on here with this. Because this is a lot of regular people made millions on this. And it's a really good feeling that people who are less fortunate are now getting what they deserved, or at least a fair chance to get something better out of this. Whereas, you know, most of the time when we go to school and we go to learn about, you know, how to become adults in life and successful and all that, we're not taught how to do taxes. We're not taught how to invest in the stock market, how to invest in retirement funds, or how to, you know, find these incentives, tax incentives, so we can maximize our wealth. No, we're just indoctrinated into the system, so we can be at a certain level, but never higher than that. And so I'm hoping that this opens up people's eyes and minds to becoming just more financially capable.
Well, I think a big thing that it's proving is that you really need to do research and you really need to educate yourself. Before I got married and became like a somewhat half decent responsible adult here, I didn't know anything about I didn't know anything about flexible spending, and now I do it every year, man. I have a flexible spending account that helps me save in paying taxes when it comes to medical bills. So any kind of medical bill, for people who don't know flexible spending, you could put an account aside, put money into it, and you don't have to pay taxes on it as long as you use it for a dentist, doctors, hospitals, medicine, stuff like that, and, along with other things. You could even pay like retirement homes, nursing care, and other stuff. But it's something that I learned as an adult. And you're right, Noel. School and maybe as a young adult or whatever, you don't really get taught too much of that. I mean, the most I can remember, I don't even remember the teacher's name, but we had a financing class where he taught you how to open up a savings account. And it was a part of going out into the workforce, and he taught you how to balance your checkbook and stuff like that. But that was about it. And you're right. I think more people need to get educated into the stock market, into things like the flexible spending, in ways to kind of save in taxes so that you can kind of use the system to maximize your dollar and make it as much worth as it could be. Because we know that a dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. So you have to do what you can, because a savings account, it's not going to cut it anymore like it did in the 60s and the 70s, where you used to get 3%, you know.
Exactly. And the strength of the dollar ain't what it used to be with since, like, you look at with inflation. So, you know, you were taught to save money. I mean, I still do that to this day. But if you long term, the dollar's fucking weak. They keep printing out money. They keep sending people checks. You know, that's not going to be. Now, is at my age, it's not a solution. So you have to have a 401k. You have to have other assets. And our whole, just about our whole fucking adult life, I mean, since what, you know, all people should use the 401k is using the markets to make money for you. You got somebody else managing it for you, or if you want to. But again, it just goes to show you the system's fucking rigged. And the people who are bitching now is Wall Street, and the government's going to go and help them without a fucking doubt. They're going to say the people at the Reddit, the Wall Street Bets, are, they're going to say they colluded or some BS, and they're going to try to find out who came up with this, and they're going to try to fuck them over because billionaires they lost a shit ton of money. And you're starting to see stories. I saw one today with, you know, Dave Ramsey. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a guy that, like, helps you get out of debt. A guy called in. He goes, "Hey, I invested $5,000 in the GameStop stock. We all know what's going on." He pulled out. He made $48,000. The guy's 24 years old or something like that. He's in his early 20s. He's asking Dave Ramsey, "What should I do?" And what does Dave tell him? "To pay off your student loans." Because he has about, I think he said, about $30,000 in student loans. And then the other money, put it in the bank or pay off some other debt and just leave it there. And then you could follow my program, which he has a program. I don't know if you guys ever read it. It's pretty rough, but it'll make you wealth. It relies a lot on saving money and paying off debt. But, I mean, there's people making money. And ultimately, we all know GameStop is not worth what the stock's saying it's worth. It's BS. Yeah. We all know that.
Yeah.
So it's going to crash. It's just, when is it going to happen? The stock people, the Wall Street people are telling you, "Oh, sell it. You guys are going to get fucked." And the Reddit people or that group is like, "Don't hold it." They're trying to not get fucked. So they're trying to scare you to sell. And that's what's going on right now.
Right, because actually, as we speak, these people that are short selling and they're losing their ass off, they're actually still buying.
Yes.
They're still borrowing this option where they borrow stocks. They're still borrowing stocks with the hopes that right now it's priced at 300. So if it crashes down to 100, that just dropped down $200. So for every stock that they have, they'll gain $200. So they're still doing it. And that's why the Reddit guys are advising everybody, hold on to your stocks and even buy more if you can, so that this thing goes even higher, just so that you screw over the guys that are short selling. And the short sellers, typically they have a month between this contract of this option that they're calling, where they short sell a stock. So they want people to wait that month period, hold on to the stock, so that these people lose their ass off. And then at that point you cash out. And at that point, like you said, Andy, the stock is not worth 300, and I think it was 20 something dollars last I looked at it. It's going to go down to $10, $15, whatever it's really worth. And there's a lot of people that are going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah, dude, that whole short seller business, it's a scam, dude. Like, it's ridiculous how it's even legal, how they allow it. They're literally selling something they don't have. And so when we sell something, if we lose money, no one gives a shit. But if they lose money, all of a sudden everybody's investing. They're like, holy shit, what's going on? You're losing money. Let's figure it out. Let's stop it. And then Robinhood, you already know what happened there. This is definitely an eye opener. I really do hope that people are paying attention to this and don't just let it slip by. Now is the time. This is only the beginning. This is really only the beginning, because if this could happen, it's going to happen again. And if that person gets stopped, whoever set up the subreddit or set up this Wall Street Bets on the Reddit, if they get stopped, somebody's going to take their place. And I feel like this is the start of the revolution of people speaking up for themselves and people taking charge of their own financial future. So yeah, we'll see.
Well, I think the problem that happened is this hedge fund company, they started getting really ballsy and promoting, we're going to short sell GameStop, we're going to short sell AMC, we're going to short sell BlackBerry. And so these Reddit guys got together and said, we're not going to let these guys trash this stock. We're going to buy into it and make them pay. So I think what's going to happen in the future is that the sneaky guys that have been doing this for years, short selling stuff, making billions of dollars, they're just going to be more secretive about it.
Yeah. Today I was seeing this morning that some of the companies that speculate on what stocks to short, that they're going to start releasing that information publicly. So it's only going to be inside people. And the reason GameStop got picked is they shorted the stock by like 100 and like, don't quote me, like 125%, 140%. So that's why that one is like the one everybody's buying, because that's the one that's really going to hurt them. And again, you know, I hear what Noel's saying. Definitely people should take more responsibility for their financials, because no one's ever going to help you. And when the government does come to help, it's not going to be enough. I mean, I've seen it since 2008. Just look at 2008 when the housing stuff happened. However that happened, it happened. Did they bail out the average person who lost their home? No, they gave the money to the banks. And then we're looking at now with the pandemic, with the stimulus checks, people are seeing, you know, all across the world what some other countries are giving out to help. And in the U.S., what do you get, like $600? And like, people are like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? And not they everybody needs 10
million
it.
To Pakistan, yeah. Gender, yes. Studies.
Yes. It's like,
it's a slap in the face. Dude, corruption's obvious.
The government is never, I should say, they're never going to help. They're going to help, but it's not going to be what the average American really needs. It's just going to be like, here's some money. Like, hey man, my rent's like a G. Well, I don't know. Make it work. You saw all those memes. Make it work. So that's what it's going to be. The only bailout, the only help is Wall Street and the banks, because that's the people who have the money. And they're the ones that are getting burnt. And they fucking scare them so much. Because they know everything. You're going to get fucked. In the long term, the economy is going to go fail. I mean, what Paulson did. They had those meetings and shit that they went in there like, the fucking U.S. economy is going to fuck up on Monday if we don't get this money. They fucking scared him so much, they give him basically a blank check. What do you think is going to happen here with Melvin? Is they already got some money from another hedge fund, but if this continues to go, there's gonna be some rules changes, you know. When you got also I saw on CNBC that one of the SEC commissioners likened this Reddit purchase or whatever investment into this is like people storming the Capitol on January 6th. This is the same type of tactic. It's just like that's how fucking scared they are. So. Like Noel mentioned, it's going to be, I don't want to say a revolution, but they got a body blow here. They got a good ass whooping, but they're not down and out. But they're going to regroup because the government's going to come and what do we need to do to help you guys out? They ain't going to go to the little man. I'll tell you that right now. They never will. And when they do, when you need $100, they're going to give you $20. There you go, man. That's all I could do right now.
Don't worry, man. Joe Biden said he's going to take care of me, so I'm not too worried. But
yeah, he's been promising 2 G's, and it came out today. We're getting 1,400. So there you go. You're already. That's another. I mean, well, whatever you feel. Everybody, 2 G's, 2 G's, 2 G's, and somehow they're blaming the other political party, which I don't know how that's even possible. But okay.
Right. I think this whole thing, if you step back, there's two big issues going on. There's one issue that hedge funds have been doing this to companies for years, making billions of dollars. So I think that's the first issue, but it's all legal, like, you know, so
yeah.
I can't really complain it too much because you can do it, Andy, and I can do it, and Noel can do it. All we have to do is create this hedge fund company and get the contacts and bet into this thing. So we can use the system ourselves. It's not exclusive to just this company. So I think that's one of the first problems. They're taking advantage of it. But I think the second, which is the larger issue, is that they have enough pull to silence these people. They took off that Reddit group off of Reddit. They silenced them. They shut down Robinhood, the company, so that they would not sell anymore, so that the stock wouldn't keep going up. They stopped people from keep combating this issue. And I think that is the bigger issue. The bigger issue isn't that, or the big issue isn't that the hedge funds have been doing this for years. It's that they silenced and they stopped the average man from turning their life around. Like you said, this guy, he got $40,000 now. The average $5,000
investment. Right.
Yeah. So the average Joe, they stopped him from being able to combat these hedge funds and make a little coin and make a little money the same way the hedge fund company has been doing this for years. And I think that is the bigger issue and the bigger thing that needs to get fixed. Same way that they kick people out of Twitter just on the whim of the CEO and whatnot, and where they silence people and close their accounts and stop them from being able to communicate and be able to put their voice out there. I think that is the bigger problem.
I think in a time when politics and the parties and just the general nature of what's going on is so turbulent, I think this is only going to make things that much more hectic or that much more turbulent. And yeah, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, right? You're making a lot of good points, Daniel. You're making a lot of good points. It might not be a revolution. And you know, they're definitely trying to shut down the small guy, the little guy. But this is the first step towards people being able to take their financial future into their hands, to be aware of the corruption that's going on and fight back against it, and not just let them have their way, not just let them do as they please.
Yeah, but you could, with the, like Robinhood, that's one of the great things. You could just buy a stock right there and there. You put some money, you buy it, and there's some other apps. But Robinhood was like the top one because it was
I've
easy.
Never used Robinhood.
There's other ones like.
And I recommend E-Trade,
E-Trade
or Fidelity.
And Cash App, and there's a bunch of them. It's
and
just,
look into Humble Pay. It's on the rise, brother.
And the problem is, like, in. The problem is they changed the fucking rules. When they it's supposed to be a free market, and they say you can't buy, but you can sell. Then there's some bullshit going on, and everybody knows it. And they're spinning it as, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing. They're just, they're like, they're a bull in a china shop, just fucking everything up. They don't know. Yet these old timers, we know what we do. Yeah, they know what they do because no one has never been as open, right? Now the information's out there. People have been home during this pandemic, and they're trying to make money. And the openness, I think, is finally there for Wall Street, where the average Joe looks at it and goes, yeah, let's do this and that. And they just got, I feel they got beat to the punch on this one. No, I'm surprised they never thought about this, and they're crying wolf because now they're getting fucked. They did it with the housing market when they were flipping the mortgages and all this bullshit, and then now they got beat by their own on this one, and they're pissed. And a lot of rich people are pissed. I mean, just go on YouTube and just do it, and go CNBC and all this, and there's a lot of rich people that are pissed. That's when I was like, okay, this is some real shit. This isn't some just something happened. Nah, they got fucked. They're bitching about it. You got people from the government coming out. They're arguing on TV how they're losing billions because these people don't know. You know, they keep saying they don't know what they're doing. They're fucking everything up.
Well, I think, Andy, what this is really going to show, and what it should show the people out there, is do something with your idle time other than watching YouTube and watching stupid meme videos and watching all this shenanigans that don't do anything to make you more prosperous. Educate yourself, learn about the stock market, learn about tax breaks, learn about stuff that will help you raise yourself up, you know, and make yourself better financially, so that you can be one of those rich guys. You can be one of those guys at the top staring down and going, hey, man, how come I didn't make $1 billion today? You can do it. Everybody can do it.
You didn't watch the Twisted Tea video? That's fucking hilarious, man.
Right. I mean, there's a time for, you know, kind of shenanigans and stuff like that. But I think if you educate yourself, if you get some general education, you could really make your money do something. Like Noel was mentioning, you can make your dollar work for you and invest somewhere smartly and turn it around and make some money out of it, man. Instead of it being on the savings where I just got my bank statement, I made 3 cents of interest. Wow. Oh my God, 3 cents, man. That's going to really change my life here. Instead of me investing that money.
Positivity, bro. It's 3 cents you didn't have before.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to hate it. I didn't send it back to the bank.
I don't know. Your comment was implied that you hated it.
Right. But what I'm saying is, people out there, do something. Go out there. Educate yourself so that you can be that rich person on the other end.
I definitely agree, man. You definitely have to diversify your portfolio. Don't put your eggs all in one basket, and have enough money that you can take a chance on some of these stocks. There are some stocks that are very stable that they'll earn you more than, you know, 2% interest per year, more than a bank will be able to pay in a savings account. So
right.
And
you just started investing, right, Noel? You started investing more?
Literally in March of last year when the pandemic hit hard, I was like, man, I didn't have a job. I only had the money I had. And I'm like, all right, what can I do with this money? How can I make this last? Things are shit's hitting the fan. What can I do? Try not to panic, right? I'm like, man, should I invest in the stock market? The prices are low. Things seem like it could be a good time. And I did. I invested. I took a chance. I took a little bit of my money, nothing crazy, $1,000. I put some here and there, different stocks. Things that I was also interested in, because that's another thing. Don't just invest randomly. Get a financial advisor if you're, you know, that, you know, ready and willing to put money into it, and do your own research. Do research on things that you like. That way it's not like a chore. That way, like, if you like video games, all right, see what video game company is doing good. See what video game company might have something on the horizon that's going to make their stock rise. So definitely it'll get you to be more diligent about doing research and about being informed of what's going on in the world, in the business world, and just, you know, depending on what you're into, technology, et cetera. And thankfully, I've doubled my money and things are going well in that sector of my life. So this is only, that's the reason I'm telling people, our viewers, just get into it. Give it a shot. You know, only risk what you're willing to lose. That's the first thing I'm going to say. But give it a shot, because what's the saying? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So, yeah.
All I know is my 401k, I checked it on the last day of the last president, and I checked it for the first time under this new president, President Biden, and Biden fucking up. It went down, man. That's all I fucking know.
No surprise there.
Fucking with my money, man.
No surprise there. 50 Cent, when Biden was going to be president or whatever, and New York's taxes were going to go up to 67%, he's like, fuck that. Like, it's just crazy times right now, dude. And people's got to stand up. They got to stand up for their rights, got to stand up for their money, what they work hard for. We deserve better than this. And, well, that's all we have for today, guys. I want to wrap this up for today, this episode. Thank you so much for joining us on the Freeform Network. If you're not already, you can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. We're also on Twitter. I don't know for how much longer, but for now, we're on Twitter, FFR Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion, you can drop them to the email, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Again, this is Freeform Radio. My name is Noel, and we have Daniel.
Yes, sir. People, go out there, get an education, man. Learn something.
And we got 401k Andy.
Man, you know, I'm the social media coordinator for Freeform Network, and I was going to set up a Parler account for Freeform, and I signed up that day, and the next day they fucking shut it down. They got the servers removed. I'm like, fuck. I was just getting the handle of it, and then like, fuck, wait, this loading. And I read, oh, yeah, they pulled the servers. I'm like, oh, okay. Somebody recommended it to me. I didn't even know about it till like before it even got shut down, and the day before I signed up, next day it was gone.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the future, man, for alternatives to Twitter, alternatives to YouTube and all that, because there's a lot of censorship going on, a lot of shady stuff, but one day at a time, guys. For now, we wish you a great night and a beautiful tomorrow.
That was cool, Dad.